Welcome everybody to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. In a second, I'm going to be joined by Pete Zayas, and he and I are going to recap tonight's loss to the Clippers. We start with the notion, and actually spend quite a bit of time on the notion of, or the concept of, prioritizing season-long goals over short-term goals, and how, you know, this looked a lot like the Lakers were doing just that. They started a lineup that didn't really make much sense going up against the Clippers. Marc Gasol doesn't appear ready to play against Serge Ibaka for prolonged minutes, and yet he got them. I would imagine most of his minutes actually came against Ibaka on the court. I don't think that's going to continue very long. So Pete and I talk about stuff like that. We continue on that notion in regards to some of the decisions that the Lakers are going to have to make moving forward, right? We know this is all going to be a process, and we know that Frank Vogel has already said it's going to be a process, but what is that actually going to look like here in the beginning parts of the season when he says he's going to be spending a lot of time kind of tinkering with rotations and minutes and combinations and stuff like that? So we discuss that, and then we finish the show on some more specific guys from the game and specific performances. And look, the guy that I'm focused a lot on is Dennis Schroeder. And we actually, Pete and I, were kind of surprised by how that game went for Schroeder compared to the rest of the guys out there for the Lakers tonight. Let's go ahead and get to that, though. We have a fun one. We have another. The Lakers aren't in action, so we have a different game of the night that Pete and I will get to after the first segment. Just enjoy this one. I know it sucks that the Lakers lost, but I'm telling you, we still try to make this as fun as possible. This episode is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced the uniquely beautiful diamond ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. This exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. All right, I'm joined now by Pete Zayas. Pete, you know what? I got to take the blame for this one.
What happened?
This one's my fault.
Yeah, what'd you do?
Well, I just realized that all day today, I was wearing New Balances.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. That wasn't well thought out.
It was just that's just a bad decision on my part. It's just a bad decision. Lakers lose to the Clippers 116-109. Ring night strikes again. All that means is that the Lakers are going to have to win a championship this year to get their vengeance for losing on ring night tonight. Tonight's show, I want to start, we're basically going to start from a wider, broader perspective and then kind of narrow in over the course of the show. And I want to start, Pete, by asking you this. Like, if you're just putting together a lineup to go up against the Clippers starting lineup. And again, one game out of now a 72 game season, but like, if you're just putting together a lineup to go up against the Clippers starting lineup specifically, I thought this was a pretty bad job by Vogel. Like if the intent this is to win the game,
but I don't think it was like, I think
it might not have been. Yeah. I just think like, that's just, You have your two smallest guards out there against wings that, you know, we saw right from the get-go. Kawhi found himself guarded by Schroeder and George found himself guarded by KCP. And it felt like deja vu from last year's first game. And to your point, like this, that, and to what Vogel said at the beginning of the game, is that they're basically going through and using this as an extension of the offseason or the preseason. But I thought, you know, when you're playing on ring night and the team that you're going up against is livid watching you get your rings. And then on top of that, you're going to offer them like this meatball of a lineup to start the game. I wasn't exactly shocked at how it went at the beginning of it.
Yeah, for sure. We're as that extension of preseason idea that, you know, that Vogel mentioned, we're not going to be doing much matchup specific stuff, I don't think. No. I think the priority is to get, and so what that means is, yeah, like this lineup against that group, if this were a playoff series, it would probably be a different starting lineup, yeah, even, right? Mm-hmm. And so, but that's not the point. And that's the way that we approached last season too. This early part of the year is going to be a lot of experimentation, a lot of figuring out that lineup works together for this reason, this lineup doesn't. That was actually a really clear contrast in this game, right? Those end of the first, end of the third quarter lineups were really poor. The second quarter and fourth quarter lineups I thought were better, but that's where we made our big run in the second quarter in particular. But yeah, we're going to keep developing what we're doing, and the team that we're playing across from us we're not really going to worry. And that's going to mean that we're going to give up points. Like, we're going to give up Paul George coming off of screens, mm-hmm, and never have our big hedge higher, because this is what we're trying to get good at right now, is our drop coverages. Mm-hmm. And so that means he's going to get clean looks coming off of screens. And the idea is that there's short-term detriment, right, and giving up points and losing some games as a result of it, but long-term benefit of, like, building, mm-hmm, your coverages out in a way that in an, you know, abbreviated offseason, abbreviated preseason even, that's what we'll likely be looking to do. So yeah, this, and nobody got more than 32 minutes in this game, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of a working our way into it. So it's interesting to get the first bits of evidence of how Vogel is going to treat the start of the season. And it's, yeah, I like with that 32 minute cap on the biggest, and LeBron sat the last 5-6 minutes of that game. We were not, you know, really going all out to win that game, but I don't think that we should throw everything out with that.
No, so a couple points that I will say though, is that, like, I'm not disagreeing with anything that you're saying, but it does get difficult to work on, you know, your own team specific things when the matchups are so poor, you know? So it's like, mm-hmm, even if you're trying to gauge what certain combinations bring and what you might have with certain starting units and certain, you know, bench units and all of that, like if it's such a heavily detrimental matchup heading into it, it's hard to get any kind of a read out of it anyway. You know, and again, it's I'm bummed that the Lakers lost. It's that, like, even if the goal here is to figure out what you have with your combinations here, I think it's kind of difficult to do that with such mismatches all over the court right from the beginning of the game. You know, I think it's tough.
I think that's fair. That's fair. That's also something of us getting our first data points of what are bad, yeah, mismatches and for what reason. Like, one thing that stood out to me was in limited minutes, I was like, oh yeah, Wes Matthews can't guard Kawhi Leonard. Like, he's, yeah, too small. Mm-hmm. And that's something that's going to be relevant. And then having AD to start on Kawhi, right? Like, that's like if we were to play them in a playoff series, that would be something that we'd look at there. Well, they moved Kawhi into the corner and had AD chase him around off ball screens. And all of a sudden, that's something that AD's like, at, right? And mostly because of talent and length rather than technique, but Kawhi was able to get open looks on AD off of, mm-hmm, that. And so that's like, okay, that's something that beats AD right now, but that's good to know and to adjust to, in that if we were to play a series against the Clippers, you know, we would need to have if we're top locking on it, if we're hedging higher with the bigs, we're gonna have to have something to address that. So yeah, like, there were individual data points, individual things that happened within this that, even with the slow ramp up, I think are valuable bits of information.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's take a quick second here. When we come back, I want to continue on some of these talking points and then move kind of further to specific guys that we saw certain things from over the course of this one, and then get you guys ready for the next one on Christmas Day against a Dallas team that is also going to be starting out a season very hungry and a potential MVP favorite, or no, the actual MVP favorite in Luka Doncic. All right, today's show is brought to you by betonline.ag. Promo code locked on gets you a 50%
deposit bonus.
And in that I already used it a couple times over, and I've already sent it to all my friends. I told you guys about the bets that I made, was feeling pretty confident about Brooklyn. So I took them, and then I parlayed them with the under in that one because I thought we'd see quite a bit of garbage time. Wound up being right about that one. Thought that the Lakers would take care of business here, and then apparently screwed up my own bet and wound up only betting the under, which I lost on the last
position
of the
game. Sure.
But we have some fun games, and today's game of the day or game of the night, Pete, we can choose between Milwaukee, Boston, or my personal betting favorite is going to be the Houston Rockets facing off against the Oklahoma City Thunder.
So let's do Houston OKC because I said Bucks Celtics, but you know, I would never, ever, like, this is not useful at all to our listeners. Yeah. Let's do the one that I'm not extremely biased on.
Well, all right. So Oklahoma City is going into Houston. Houston is 7-point underdogs right now.
Houston's minus 7, so they're 7-point favorites.
Yeah. I read it wrong because it's shocking to me.
Right. That they're 7-point favorites?
That they're favorites at all.
OKC traded everybody.
I don't even care.
Yeah.
James Harden was just throwing balls at rookies in practice.
Yeah. That's true. They're not going to defend everybody. Yeah.
You guys can tell where I'm leaning on this one. I'm plan on betting Oklahoma City heavy in this one, taking the money line. Right now, the money line on that is plus 255 here on betonline.ag, where you can use a promo code locked on to get a 50% deposit bonus. And I'm telling you right now, getting 255 on an Oklahoma City Thunder team playing against the Houston Rockets is in and of itself a deposit bonus.
I'm actually with you on that money line bet because teams that play, so the circumstances you're describing with Houston, if a team doesn't play hard, and we saw this a bit with the Lakers tonight, right? Mm-hmm. That OKC team, of course, they're probably not going to win a ton of games and they're rebuilding, have all these draft picks, but they're probably going to play hard, right? And mm-hmm. if a team is dysfunctional to the degree that perhaps the Rockets are, we'll see, but it doesn't sound great. That means they're probably going to be pretty bad on defense and that you can get whooped by teams that play hard, even if there's a talent discrepancy. So I like that money line bet too.
Yeah. And if you're feeling frisky, the over under is set at 226 right now. I don't think there's going to be very much defense played in that one. So something to keep an eye on in there. So again, head on over to betonline.ag, use promo code locked on where you can get a 50% bet or deposit bonus from whatever you put $50 in, you get $25 free dollars to be able to put on your bets of your choosing. And I would use every cent of that $25 extra dollars on the Thunder money line in this one. Let's go ahead and take one more quick second here. When we come back, we will get back to Lakers Clippers. All right, so let's go ahead and jump back into this Lakers-Clippers game. So I want to start here on this segment just to you know, because it's important to understand the context under which all of this happens, right? You and I spent all offseason. Actually, you and I spent a lot of the postseason, last year's postseason, talking about how the Lakers were really smart in the way that they used last year's regular season, right? They probably cost themselves some games mm-hmm. by force feeding Anthony Davis in the post, by mm-hmm. really trying to find ways to make Rajon Rondo useful and you can go on down the line of all of these things.
Sure.
And while it's frustrating, it's really easy to say that after the fact, right? It's really easy to point that out after the team wins a championship and after that regular season, you know, comes to fruition and you see all of these great things that happen for the Lakers and the bubble and all of that. And now as it's happening in the moment, it's a lot more difficult to say like, oh, well, it's all part of the process. Sure. And that's kind of where I find myself here. Now, there's a balance where I think, you know, some of the process and going into putting yourself in situations where these data points are somewhat flawed because of the situation, that's kind of nitpicking, right? At the end of the day, we're seeing a very consistent approach to the regular season here with the Lakers, where they're saying this doesn't matter as much as making sure that we have all pistons firing as best they possibly can come postseason time.
Yeah, 100%. And that's something that we're not going to be, like I said earlier, really overreacting to one game or another. It's not like, oh, we're playing this game and it's a bad matchup for Mark. Let's benchmark for this game and start Trez or start AD at the five. Like, no, it's not going to happen. We're just going to live with Mark being a bad matchup for that team that we're going up against and building what we can off of that. That said, there's a push and pull to this, that it's important to have short-term goals on a team like this Lakers team that is focused on a title, that has won a title, that's obviously the ultimate goal, is what are the things that we're looking to get good at now? Because you can kick that can down the road that, oh, they'll get it eventually, that can last months or that can last the whole season. And then it can be a weakness in the playoffs where you're like, oh, we never got better at that thing we just assumed we were going to get better at. So aside from health and all of that, I think the incorporation of the new guys is the most important thing, and mixed results on that front tonight. But yeah, that I think defensively is the area where Vogel will look to build out first. And we were so hot and cold in this game. Like we were either really bad on defense or we were great on defense. And there were very few stretches where we were anywhere in between, really. So yeah, that's the first place from a short-term goal standpoint is, can we make our rotations beat guys to their spot? If we give up buckets because Mark is too slow to step up on a screen or something, and we give up a three to Paul George coming off of a screen because of that, you live with that, right? Those are we're not making this adjustment for just this type of team, but whatever coverage we're in, let's execute that well. And, yeah, we had a great stretch in this game, but most of it was pretty crap.
I don't think the next time the Lakers play the Clippers is going to look very much like this game. Like, I think there are going to be some adjustments, because like there are some things, you know, going into it that aren't going to go very well, right? Well,
and also, Anthony, how much of this game was the ring ceremony and the, like, they looked drunk in the first quarter? It was 39 to 19. Drunk
in the first quarter.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like 39 to 19. And then we whooped on them in the second quarter. And then it was, you know, close to the third. And then Paul George got hot. And we our shot selection in the third quarter after LeBron went out, there was like four or five straight possessions. I'm like, what are you guys doing? And so, yeah, like, yes, it will look different just simply as a function of it not being a ring night, not the first night back. I don't know when we play them again, but it's obvious that we're kind of ramping up. So, yeah, it'll be a different game.
Well, but I also think, like, just matchup wise, like I would like to see, because this is important when you're playing against a team like the Clippers, you know, you're going to see them again. So you want to be able to see, all right, what does it look like when Gasol's minutes match up a little bit closer to Zubats's minutes? And what does it look like if Montrez is out there in for some of those Ibaka minutes, or even Keefe is out there for some of those Ibaka minutes? What does it look like when Kuz gets more of a look against Paul George, where he isn't on an island constantly? Because I actually felt bad for Kuz for some stretches where he was just like, go do your thing, bud. And that's just, it's just not going to work out very well. And like, I just think in general, you know, the Clippers are a little unique in this, in that they're this matchup where obviously your foremost goal is figuring, especially at this portion of the season, is figuring out the various combinations and you know, just accumulating as much data as you possibly can to start making some of these decisions. But against a team like the Clippers, when you know you're going to see them at some point again later this season, probably in a high stakes situation, you also want to get a look and you know, get some video on there of what certain matchups look like compared to others. Mm-hmm. And I think the next time that the Lakers play the Clippers, you're probably going to see something a little bit closer to a playoff matchup than this was. Like, this was very much not a playoff matchup. This was very much an early regular season matchup. I think as we, yeah, as you move closer to the playoffs, all of these matchups are gonna look closer to playoff matchups, but specifically ones against the Clippers, against the Bucks, against the Celtics, whatever team that you feel like you're gonna play against in higher stake situations, you do want, there's a ton of value in seeing what some of those matchups actually look like when those guys are going up against each other.
100%, 100%, and there will be intensity differences too, right? Like, this one, yeah, was somewhere between a preseason and regular season game. It felt like a scrimmage. Yeah, it wasn't fully that, but it was, I don't know, it just had an odd energy to it, which I think we, you know, I don't think it's a surprise considering the quick turnaround. But they also kicked our ass for a good portion of that game. And that matters too. You can't just be like, oh, it's opening night and got a rings and all that. Like, the Clippers are really good. They're really good. And they're really good at a position on the wing where we might have some questions. Mm-hmm. The optimists, and I think this is, a lot of this is realist, not just optimist, but like, neither LeBron or AD played particularly well. Mm-mm. We got beat to a ton of 50-50 balls. We did not look to match up really with anything that they did specifically. And Paul George got hotter than hell. And we were in that game for most of it, right? We gave it up in that fourth quarter. And at the end of that third quarter and mm-hmm. the start of the fourth. So, yeah, it was... Like, I think this Lakers team is a good deal better than this Clippers team. And any, you know, future matchups will have, I think, a greater degree of an intensity from us.
Yeah, I think another way I would put that is the Clippers played this game, it looked like, to win it, like to win this game specifically. And it looked very much like the Lakers are building towards, you know, something else.
Sure.
You know,
but the Clippers, it's a good win for the Clippers, though. It's a good win for them.
It is. Well, these wins are going to matter. Like, this division, like, if seeding and all that stuff matters the way that we think it will, right? Because by the time we get to the playoffs, the idea is, theoretically at least, fans are going to be back in the stands. So seeding and stuff like that is going to matter to a team like the Clippers or a team like Denver or Utah or whatever. So these wins do really matter for them. I also don't want to make this sound like a cop out, because like, the Paul George played really freaking well.
Oh yeah, he kicked our ass.
Yes. He was far and away the best player on the court. And you know, he deserves credit for being able to play like that. But it just looked very clear
that both these teams had very different intentions going into it. And we just see how that played out over the course of the game. And now we just have to see where that leaves both teams heading into the rest of their seasons and beyond.
Sure. Absolutely. And it was still, yeah.
And it was still, like you're saying, like, it was still relatively close for large portions of it.
Yeah. You know? We played like crap. Hopefully we play better on Christmas, but we're getting our first little data points on how this season will start and kind of our, and that's the thing, is this is a new team with the Lakers. As much as we have, you know, stuff to build off of from last year, these are new guys learning each other, and you're going to see a lot of talking, hopefully a lot of communication. Cause it's that whole idea of like, you have to put the work in and have the short-term goals now, but what does that look like? What are the steps in the process? And there's going to be a lot of communication, the like, oh, you need to rotate here. You know, a lot of good work in the film room that I hope they lock in on, but I would love for us to be able to go full intensity with the guys that we have on the court or as close to it. And so if I'd rather have guys not playing or not playing nearly as much, if they're going to 70-80% it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And just try to, but I don't know. Maybe that's not feasible. We'll see.
We'll see indeed. Let's take one more second here. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about some more
specifics that we saw. Like Schroeder to me is an interesting one.
So yeah, you brought him up a few times. I'm curious what you got to say.
I want to talk about Schroeder here on the other side of the break. Today's show is brought to you in part by Built Bar. Head on over to builtbar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll save 20% off your next order of the best protein bars you will ever get. And you thought they were great before? Well, check out these new flavors. Caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia. You can maybe guess which one I may or may not have had a role in naming. I didn't, but still. That's if I was going to name a protein bar, that's what it would sound like. Lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple almond crisp. You get that in addition to coconut almond, raspberry, orange, toffee almond, double chocolate, salted caramel, all of those good, great flavors. And they are just as refreshing, just as filling as they have ever been. And like I said, you can still continue to get them for 20% off your next order. So every time you hop on there, go to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, and you will get 20% off every order that you put in on that website. And I just can't understand why you would ever stop ordering such a great product. So one more time, if you're looking for a gift for your family member, or you're looking for a stocking stuffer, it's a great stocking stuffer. Head on over to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and you will get 20% off your next order. One more time, builtbar.com, promo code LOCKEDON. So Reggie Miller really likes him from Dennis Schroeder. And that was my first red flag. Schroeder finishes the night 14 points, eight assists, 12 rebounds, a minus 10. He was out there with the group that just struggled really early on. And I think some of the plus minuses on this were kind of skewed. This is where it's going to be interesting to have, what is he, 27? So it's going to be interesting to watch a 27-ish year old point guard who has all the confidence in the world try to find the balance between, all right, when I'm with the second unit, I run things. This is my team. This is my offense. This is what I want the team to look like. And then with the starters, with the better group, the group that he wants to play with, by the way, find a way to be impactful in much shorter bursts. And I thought, just overall throughout the game, I thought he pushed things a little too much. I thought he was a little too forceful in this first step of trying to find that balance.
Yeah. When he's a guy that is doing too much when he's bad, right? Mm-hmm. So that's going to be, he can be an inaccurate passer. He can force shot attempts when he's not open. I just thought he played better with the starters than he did with the bench. Yeah, he was part the, so I think your point about the learning when to kind of take control and run things, that end of the first, end of the third units that I thought were really bad lacked somebody that was getting things organized and getting them on the same page. Like we rushed possessions, no one was in control, nobody was, does that make sense? Like yeah, nobody was, we're shooting 17 footers with 17 seconds left on the shot clock. And that's not just Schroeder, but it's just like you need a point guard, somebody to be like, all right, let's slow down. You got to feel out the pace of the game when you've had a couple of possessions in a row where you haven't gotten a good shot. Like you need your point guard to be assertive in organizing, right?
Whoever the setting up a set and all those things.
Right. And I didn't think you did a good job of that. With the starters, I was pleasantly surprised. I thought that he was, worked well off of the ball. He attacked closeouts, defended. He was one of our better defenders tonight.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a curious make. It's going to take me, Anthony, I don't know, 15, 20 games before I start drawing conclusions on Schroeder or anybody else and all of that. I was more worried about his fit with the starters And tonight was kind of the opposite of what I thought it would be. Mm-hmm. Right. I thought he'd be better with that end of the first type lineups.
It was interesting because, like, actually I kind of felt like the Clippers played a little rope-a-dope with him, where they kept having Luke Kennard guard him in space. And, like, especially given the way he was trying to force so many things, like, again, one team is playing for one thing and then another team is playing for another thing. And I feel like Vogel basically said, you know what? He's going to make his mistakes. He's going to over-penetrate, or he's going to overcommit on those penetrations, whatever the situation might be. We just got to ride this. And we got to, now we have tape to show him, hey, this is what the read probably should have been on this one. And this is what the read probably should have been on this one. Whereas the Clippers were like, no, this is great. Let's have Kennard out there. He's going to get by Kennard, but he's probably going to take one dribble too many in the key. And right. And that's going to put us in this different situation that allows us to rotate elsewhere or hopefully eventually get out and transition. And you know, it's funny because on Twitter, you're looking at it, you know, the eyes that are as big as this, as you know, saucepans for Schroeder when he saw Kennard out there in space. But I was watching from home and I'm thinking, like, nah, this feels intentional, you know.
Remember last year our games against the Clippers, like, we couldn't hit a damn shot and they really collapsed the paint against mm-hmm. us. This reminded me of that a little bit. Yeah. Right, LeBron had a couple drives where he'd get stripped, but that's part of the Clippers don't really have much rim protection. They're very strong on the wing defensively, but they need to keep you out of the paint.
Yeah.
And if you get into the paint, they're in trouble defensively, so they kind of overcompensate for that type of thing. And there's a way to beat that, right? Like, if they're clogging the paint, then those are great times to go AD at the five. The Clippers are a great team that when we choose to get to that point, those AD at the five lineups will be our best lineups. But in these types of scenarios, when they're sagging off or they're kind of throwing that that temptation out there that, oh, you know, you can get by this first guy, mm-hmm. but then we're going to collapse onto you. In these types of situations, they can win some of those battles because we're not countering much with those five out groups and all that.
Yeah, I recognize the defense because I was such a terrible defender that I remember, like, what the team would do to make up for how bad I was on the perimeter. So it was like, yeah, we're going to throw you out there on the perimeter and you're going to look like barbecue chicken, but it's all going to be part of the plan. And I could really relate as a fellow slow lefty as Luke Kennard is to the way that the Clippers were throwing him out there. And that's right. And look, like, this is, again, this entire thing is going to be a process, and it would have been great for the Lakers to come out with a win on ring night and, you know, kind of be the best case scenario is to be able to win and learn at the same time. But, like, everybody knows who has ever played a sport, who has ever done anything, you learn a ton in failure, you know, and the Lakers now definitively know. Yeah, those lineups when Ibaka is out there, Gasol probably isn't a great fit. You know, they now definitively know that probably need a little bit more size than both Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Wesley Matthews on the wing. Yep.
It's great to get that information. We put THT on Kawhi a little bit too, which I thought was interesting in the minutes that he got. Anyway, yeah, like, those are the types of things. Hey, is the kid, because he's strong enough, he got the long arms, mm-hmm. what? Can he get a few minutes? This is the perfect time of the season to learn those type of things.
And eventually, you're going to see some players become available, whether it's by buyout or trade market, whatever it might be. And now that the Lakers can have seen Wesley Matthews look pretty washed in that one. And it's just one game, but... they now know, all right, well, maybe we should keep an eye on Trevor Ariza. You know, maybe he's
are we doing this already?
he's washed, but he's taller washed. He's longer washed. so maybe it's worth keeping an eye on that stuff. Either way, look, it's just happy to have. I'm happy to have Lakers basketball back.
Oh, for sure.
And here we are. The Lakers have another exciting game now lined up for Christmas. They have a couple days to look. You and I don't think you and I are very thrilled with how LeBron or AD played in this one. Uh-huh. They're going to have 2 days where they're going to be reminded, you know, AD was supposed to be an MVP candidate and LeBron James was supposed to be like another of these things. And maybe it was AD is the MVP candidate because I bet on him, but still, you know, they're going to hear about how, oh, are the Clippers actually the title favorites in LA and all this stuff. And I think, you're going to get some listless performances again, but I don't think they'll look as listless as they looked for stretches of that one.
And I just want to reiterate, it was 39-19. Like, this was one quarter of drunken basketball, mm-hmm. followed by three quarters, and of which the Clippers won stretches of that, but three quarters that were totally fine. Yes. And we won those three quarters by like 13 points, mm-hmm. which isn't how basketball works, right? But they're not going to look, we're fine.
Yeah. I'm kind of curious how long like hungover LeBron continues. That's what I want to see. It's like how I would like to see, like, there were stretches where LeBron, like, he made some moves tonight that I didn't really think he'd have in him early on in the season. AD made some moves on Ibaka, that one jab step dunk that he had on him going to the baseline. Like, if there were some plays that like really, you know, hammered home. Okay. Yeah, that's right. That's why the Lakers are going to be fine. But I don't know. I'd like to see it often enough to get a couple wins here early on in the year.
We're fine, Anthony. We're fine.
I know we're fine. We're fine. We're fine. It's like Anthony, that. It's like
you,
that.
You just cut Wes Matthews. You tried to bring an old Laker back to the team. Oh Lord, we're gonna start like 5-5, and you're gonna be fucking insufferable, aren't you?
It's like that one when Holly was in that relationship she didn't want to be in, and she's like, "We're fine, we're fine, we're fine, we're fine." You ever say fine. Words that just start to sound weird when you say them so often? We're fine. We're fine.
Yeah. Yeah, and no one that's ever said "we're fine" has ever actually been fine. So that's a good point. Yeah.
All right, Pete and I will be back tomorrow to get you guys ready for the Dallas game on Christmas Day. Just a heads up, we are taking Christmas off because it's Christmas and it's going to be a Friday. Depending on how that game goes, maybe I'll hop on here, but I have to doubt it. We're both going to enjoy the holidays here and get ready for this print that will be this season. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. Talk to you tomorrow.